I'm going to share for a few minutes as well. It was interesting as I was listening to what Joel shared. I just wouldn't have seen necessarily a tie-in to what was in my heart, but I do as Joel was listening. So the thing that was in my heart earlier this week, and I know I've touched on this at least once, maybe more during the summer, is the thought of God testing us. And I read some interesting verses as I searched on this, and there's some core things to the thought of the fact that God tests. It says in Psalm 11, it says that the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous and the wicked. And it was interesting as you look at that, and it says with the familiar verse in Proverbs 17, verse 3, where we know that one, it says, the crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart of a man. The thought that of God testing, the one thing that comes up to me as I look at, particularly Psalm 11, is this thought that God tests everyone. And if our desire is to say, you know what, I'm not interested in being tested, therefore I'm not going to walk with the Lord or something like that, we know that's not going to do it. Like, God is going to test each one to reveal to each one. And in a way, it's his mercy, because those tests, if you think about maybe to the youth and the children, it's a month and a half into school. Who's had a test so far? Has anybody had a test? I can see a fair number of you on the screen. Okay, I'm seeing some hands go up that you guys have already had tests. What is the purpose? So you think of school. What's the purpose of a test? I was thinking about this morning. So it shows you what you know, what you've learned. It also shows you what you haven't learned. And if you really wanted to do well, when you get your marks back, and you don't just look at the mark, but you actually look at the test and say, okay, where did I get the answers right and where did I get the answers wrong? If somebody really wanted to do well and improve, what would they do? Would they just kind of do a little celebration of the ones they got right and forget about the ones they got wrong? I think practically you'd look at it and go, well, okay, great. I know some of these and I've learned some of them, but I want to focus on the things I got wrong, and I need to figure out why I got those wrong and study those and do better in those. And it's the same with the Lord. He tests us because he wants to show us. And I was sort of thinking about this, why, what is the purpose of God testing us? And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, well, he wants to see what's in our heart, but I think he knows. More importantly, he wants us to see the things that are in our heart. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, and this is a familiar passage. I'll read this one. Deuteronomy 8, 2 to 5. It says, you shall remember all the ways which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And it goes on and talks about other things, but they are just focusing on the testing. It says he tested them to know what was in their heart and whether they would obey. He wanted to reveal to them, like we come back to the thought of the crucible for silver and the furnace for gold. He wanted them to see the dross. He wanted them to see the areas that weren't lining up. And that's true for those that are serving him and those that aren't. In a way, it's his, again, I say, it's his mercy that he would actually test every person, because in it, it's a chance for us to see that we fall short of the glory of God and that we need a savior. And the thing that I was just struck me, because the part that was in my heart, really, like, we can go over these verses and, you know, most of us would be able to quote most of these verses around the thought of God testing us. But the part that really, struck me as I was thinking about this is I was thinking about two examples, and this is where I see the tie-in to what Joel was talking about. Is okay, we know he's going to test everybody. The scriptures are clear, he's going to test everybody. The critical thing to me is in when we are tested is how do we respond to the test. And I was thinking of two examples, and from the scriptures, two people, and you probably could guess, but I went and I looked at Saul and David, and I looked at the way that they responded, and I thought, it's so, there's such a contrast there and such a lesson for us in terms of when. It's not a question of if God is going to test us. God is going to test each and every one of us. And it is, let's remember, it's his mercy. And there's other reasons, and we can think of other scriptures why he tests. But let's just for a moment think about how we respond when God tests. And the first one, when we look at Saul, and we see that test where God asked him to do, I'm just going to scroll, sorry, give me a second to find that scroll. It's in 1 Samuel 15, and God speaks to him through Samuel and says to him, Saul, I want you to go and strike Amalek and utterly destroy it. It seems brutal, but this is what he asked him to do. He said, don't spare Amalek. He says, but put to death both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. Destroy it all. Don't keep anything. And we know in the end that that's not what Saul did. And when Joel was talking and you talk about the Israelites and why the cross was a stumbling block to them. And in our own lives, this is one of the greatest tests. But the simple question is, that when I think about this, because it ties into Saul and David, is do we care more about what God thinks, or do we care more about what people think? And when you think of the Israelites and you think of that, the circumcision, which Paul talked about inside, we see that was outward. It was very much, I'm concerned more about what people think. That is my primary concern. And that's so, that is such an easy trap to still fall into today. When we're tested, are we more concerned of, I just hope people didn't see that I dropped the ball, I missed it, I failed that test? Or are we more concerned about, Lord, I don't care what people think. I'm not worried about that. I long for, as Joel said, I long to be changed. And that comes through the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. And so I was thinking about this because you see this with Saul, and we know these scriptures. You get a glimpse. I mean, this relates back a lot to pride. And so you see this where it talks about the fact, first of all, Samuel gets a report that he set up a monument for himself. And this is kind of then where Samuel goes to meet him. And this is the dangerous part. As you look at Saul's response, he sees it. He sees that he's fallen short. He, in fact, says, I have sinned. But in that, so I'm just saying, this is the danger that we have. We have to be so careful. Like, we can acknowledge, yeah, I've fallen short. We can give mental and verbal assent to the fact I've sinned. I've fallen short. I didn't pass the test. But does that get us inside where we come before Jesus and say, Lord, change me? And we're crying out that he would change us. Because Saul, he said, this is why he said he did it. He said, I feared the people and I listened to their voice. Like Joel shared, the cross of Christ to the Israelites, it was foolishness. Like this thought of denying yourself and taking up your cross and following Jesus Christ, and the fact that it's by faith and not by something that I'm going to do, and frankly then something that I can boast in and look down on others for, it was crazy. And you think of this command that God gave to Saul, it was like, just annihilate everybody. And immediately he had these people talking in his ear saying, you know what, this is crazy. Let's just spare the best and we'll sacrifice to God and, you know, it'll be a good thing. And so he bowed to that. He bowed to what people thought of him rather than obeying the foolishness of this command, one could say. And then we see it again, and this is the familiar one. He asks Samuel again. He's very much more concerned about, not about the fact that he sinned against God. He just says, again, I've sinned, but please honor me now before the elders. Samuel, yeah, I messed up, but really what matters to me is what people think of me. And we have to be so on guard against that, that this is a trap for all of us, young and old, wherever we're at in our walk with the Lord, is that as we go through tests, that we would continue to have that heart that, God, I long to be changed. I long to see the change. And I'm not fussed about what people think. By the grace of God, I don't want to fear man. I want to walk in the fear of the Lord, as we talked a lot about Friday night, just talking about the fear of the Lord and just allowing him to expose those things. The other element for me in this is, and where this came, why I started looking at this at the beginning of the week is, admittedly, it was again, and I've said this, and I think Harry even alluded to this in sharing a little bit a couple of weeks ago on a Friday night, like, it's just almost a frustration of like, Lord, it just seems like for me, and you guys know this, that many of my tests come through work, and it's just like, Lord, why is it never just easy at work? It always seems difficult. And I was almost, like I say, almost frustrated. And it was like the Lord just spoke to me one morning, just so like, this is what I do. I allow different tests and different trials. Like, this is my way, Tim. You're not going to get out of this. So you have to, like, then understand it and realize I'm allowing this to cause many things and reveal my heart, reveal the areas that he desires to change, to give me an opportunity to let my roots go deeper in him. And we know that familiar passage that says, consider it all joy when you encounter various, I'll say, tests, knowing that in the testing of our faith, we can grow in our endurance. But the part that strikes me as just as Joel was sharing, and I thought of this passage, I want to go to this, and this is another familiar passage, but we haven't looked at it, at least I haven't looked at it in a while, is Ezekiel chapter 36. And you get a glimpse here where through the prophet Ezekiel, God is giving a glimpse of this new covenant that he wants to bring. And he says there, speaking again to the Israelites, but there's so much here which speaks to us as new covenant believers. He says in, I'm just going to read a little bit, but I'll, 22. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. For I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the lands and bring you into your own land. The part that strikes me, even as you start, is just how many times does it talk about God being holy and his holiness and vindicating that, like that people would know that God is holy. And that reality, like that is the difference between, in a lot of ways, the old covenant and the new covenant. In the old covenant, if we get caught in that, we're getting caught in that, I think, in a lot of ways, because what all we care about, as I've said, and as Joel alluded to, is we're more concerned about what people think of us. And it isn't about God, allowing God to work in us to make us what he desires, which is to make a pure and spotless bride for himself, that we would be holy just as he is holy. Like that is a reality. I've had someone text me a few thoughts in the last couple of days around holiness and the holiness of God. And does that offend us? He was just sharing with me. He says, you know, a lot of people can be offended. Like, we're not, you know, think about people can embrace the love of God and the compassion of God, but do they get offended when they think about the holiness of God and the fact that he says in the new covenant, be ye holy as I am holy. And without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And that's not, like, let's not lose sight of what Joel shared. That's not a holiness based on our own deeds and our own efforts. But that is a holiness that says, Lord, when you test and when you try and you will prove that I fall short of the glory of God, I'm not going to focus on what people think, but I am going to be willing to humble myself to fall on my knees, so to speak, whether that just in that, in just what I mean is an act of humility and just say, Lord, I long to be changed. I long for your spirit to work in my life and let the Holy Spirit make me holy on the inside, Lord, that anger, that lust, that bitterness, that all the deeds of the flesh, would change and that love and joy and peace and patience, all those things would begin to reign in my heart, that I could be patient with people, that I could have love for people. This is why he tests, is to allow us to see these things, that we would remain on our knees before him, so to speak, and just continue to be dependent on him and allowing his Holy Spirit to work. And the part, if we continue in Ezekiel 36, that really was what came to my mind when Joel was sharing, was just, and we get a glimpse. I'm going to keep reading because you get a wonderful glimpse of the new covenant. He says, "For I will take you from among the nations and gather you from all the lands and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you." This is a story of salvation. And I think each of us, we could go around the Zoom meeting, as we can describe it now. But just, you know, the testimony that each of us has of where God plucked us from and how he saved us from different backgrounds and different testimonies of places that he set us free from. But we all can share this same common testimony that by his mercy and grace, he's cleansed us by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then he says, "I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. And moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." And he says, "And I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes." This is the message of the cross, is that he is going to put his, by faith, when we're willing to die to ourselves, that we can be raised up in newness of life, when he puts his spirit in us. And it's the power of his Holy Spirit that will cause us to walk and help us to walk in obedience and bring about the change. And he talks about, he says in verse 29, "I will save you from all your uncleanness." But the part that I wanted to get to was this in 31, when he says, "Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good. And you will loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations." And that's the part I wanted, that just, it came to my mind as Joel was sharing. But when we think about going through a test, and we think about, we will all go through tests, and by the grace of God, if we're walking with him, there's an opportunity to overcome and to pass tests. But I do believe God will continue to allow tests in our lives that will continue to show us the dross of our heart from now until when Jesus comes or when we go to be with him, because he's always going to be in the business of changing us and sanctifying us if we let him, if we're willing to work, let him work in us. And this is, in my mind, this is the heart attitude that we want to have, is the focus is, "Lord, when I see that dross, I loathe it. I hate it. I see how I've fallen short." It's not that we get discouraged, but the heart is a longing for change. That's the hope, the mystery of the gospel, the hope of glory, or the hope of being changed, Paul says. So as a body, let us have that heart. "Lord, I don't want to resist the tests." This is where Lord, I don't want to get frustrated when you're testing me. Just the fact that I'm going through tests. It's possible. That's where I felt like my heart was at the beginning of the week. "Lord, I'm done with all the tests." God will continue to test because he loves us and he cares for us and he longs to make us holy and to change us. So then let's allow him to test. Let's not fight that. But in it, let's have this heart that says, "Lord, when you show me the dross, when you show me the areas I'm falling short, when maybe there's areas that I, praise God, by his grace, there's going to be areas we pass. Just like I said to the youth who are taking tests now, there's questions you get right, and we can be really thankful that praise God, I've learned that. By the grace of God, I'm overcoming in that area now, where I didn't know that when the school year started, but I've learned it and I've overcome it. In the same way in our walk with the Lord, we can say, by the grace of God, that area where I once stumbled, God has caused me to overcome, and it's only by him and the cross of Jesus Christ that I can overcome it and the power of his spirit. But you know what? There's still areas that I clearly haven't learned. And you're going to see that when you take a school test. And so those areas, let's not be students that then just say, "Oh, who cares? Whatever. I don't care. I don't care about that." And so, "Lord, I want those things, those areas where you're still showing me I fall short, Lord, it's sin." Like this is the ultimate, this is the critical thing. It's good to learn our math and our reading and our writing and those things, because they're a blessing naturally to us as we learn them, and we can be faithful in that, even for the glory of God. But then when it comes to our life in Christ and our souls, that we would take it seriously when we see sin. Let's not just say, man, I just hope nobody noticed. I hope nobody else saw that. No, none of the others in the fellowship saw that the way I snapped at somebody or the way I said this to somebody, or I hope nobody hears what I did. If that's our heart, let's, Lord, change me. Lord, it doesn't matter what other people think, because I'm not going to stand before them. I'm going to stand before you. And Lord, let me have a heart that when the dross is revealed to me, Lord, I want to be changed. I want you to change me. And it isn't about what people think about us, but it's about what Jesus Christ and what our Heavenly Father sees in us. And he loves us and he longs to see us changed. And so we can know that and let him and his, what he desires for us be what is forefront in our minds. And you know what? As God changes us, then people can see, not for our praise, but for his glory, people will be able to see that change and say, what? God is working in that brother or sister. There's something happening there. But it's different now, because it's not about, you know, being able to boast and say, you know what? I nailed it. Like, I'm a good person now. It's not that. It's be able to say, you know what? I can begin to boast in the cross of Jesus Christ and what the power of his Holy Spirit is doing in my life. As we heard, Paul says, I don't boast in anything. The only thing I'm going to boast in is in my weakness, because in my weakness, the power of Jesus Christ is made perfect. That's where the power of the gospel is revealed. And I'm not going to boast in any of my own efforts, any of my own works, because they're like rubbish. But I can boast in the cross of Christ and what Jesus Christ has done in my life. And that all comes through the testings and the trials that he allows us to go through. But in that, his desire and what he wants for us is to make us more like him, that he would be glorified. And in the midst of all of that, the crazy thing is, in the midst of all of that, if that's our heart and that's what we're allowing him to do and to work in us as this amazing Heavenly Father that we serve, the fruit, we will begin to, in a greater and a greater way, I believe, so we'll begin to just be able to enjoy the fruit of his Holy Spirit in our life. So it's not like it's just then this death. It's not. It's life. As his Spirit is working in us, that the life of Jesus Christ will be working in us, that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control, those will be the things that are reigning in our life. And so he is glorified. And we get to walk in that place. And that's where it's this abundant life that he has for us. So it's life. It's the life of Jesus Christ, that he knew joy above all of his companions, despite all the tests, because we know that it says that he has been tempted, or I can say tested, in all things as we are. And yet he was without sin, and he can sympathize with us, because he has been, he was made like us in all things, so that he could, for that very reason, that he could sympathize with us. And so as we're going through the testing, we have an advocate, we have a mediator, we have someone, a brother that we can run to and say, Jesus, you've been there. You know what I'm going through. You know the difficulty of this test. You know how painful this is. Lord, help me to overcome. And in the midst of that test, we can have the peace can flood our hearts, and just to have the joy in him. So just what was in my heart is just the fact that God is going to test us. Let's not get frustrated or begin to get pushed back on us. Lord, I'm done with the testing. Lord, when the testing comes, help me to overcome. And where I fall short, Lord, help me to have a heart that hates the sin, and just but has faith and a longing to see you change me, and faith that it is, all things are possible in Jesus Christ, and that he's able to bring about that change in us. And so that we can rejoice as we see the cross working in us, and that we would be able to then, as Joel said, boast in the cross of Jesus Christ for the ultimate purpose, that others could say that they've come to know Jesus Christ and the power of his cross, perhaps through our testimony, through our lives, because of what they see, and not an outward circumcision, not caring about what other people think, but just allowing him to work. So I will stop there, but that was what was in my heart this morning.